morning, how you doing? Waking up,
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Cass and Bodge.
It goes like this.
Half a degree, Cass.
Oh, my goodness.
Of a degree.
Bodge, it does not surprise me. I am literally freezing. Like, I have my hood on. Like, you came in and you were just trying to defrost for a little bit. I sat in my car and G'd myself up to get out.
There are parts of me that are still hibernating in the cave.
Of?
Huh?
The cave of?
Well, the cave didn't exist before it got this cold, so it hasn't got a name.
Yeah. Okay, half a degree. On the way in, you know how your car says it? Mine said 10 degrees. That's a lie. Yeah.
I got some more puns. My policeman has retreated. Mm. Yeah, into...
Okay, yeah, great.
It's cold.
That's a good
one. Cold. I said to you driving in, I was considering if we had a shower built into this radio station, I don't think I'd leave come winter. I think I'd just sleep here and not let anyone know.
Like in the office somewhere.
Exactly.
Well, we do have a couch in our studio, so you might just reside there for a little bit. Can I tell you?
I've slept there many times.
I know. Can I tell you, when I was sitting in my car, you know how you have to actually G yourself up to get out? It took me like 10 minutes to do that this morning.
Yeah.
From my car into the, to like run into the office.
But how quickly does yours heat up?
Oh, it still takes, well, it was so cold that it still like had all the condensation. It still takes a minute.
Yeah.
Or five? I reckon five?
I've got an old car, you see, so my heater only really kicks in as I'm turning into the radio station here, and by that time there's no point. So all I'm doing for the, you know, it's only about a 5 minute drive, not even, all I'm doing is blowing cold air on my face from the aircon.
That's not nice.
Because it's still trying to heat up. So there's no point doing it.
Yeah, no. That sucks. But you know what it is? It's International Burger Day today. So I feel like with this cold weather, you feel like a nice burger.
I feel like a nice burger.
Right now.
Yeah, I want a nice burger, yeah. What else we got coming up? Obviously, Dean McCarthy. I was excited to speak to him yesterday because it was 2 weeks since I talked to him.
It's been a little while for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, he's coming up with more goss again today, of course. I'm going to tell you about something just plain weird that you never would have seen before coming up next.
Get up with
Cass and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast hit.
Bodger, the weirdest thing did I ever see last night. Like, thank God I didn't see this in real life because, as you know, I was in Brisbane over the weekend for just 2 days. Oh, well, I had yesterday off because I couldn't get back. Now, I was on a plane. It was just a normal plane ride. I didn't really see anything too weird. There was a lot of turbulence on the way back in here. My flight was quite delayed. It was quite windy yesterday. And, well, I don't know if anyone was windy on this flight, but you know Darren McCullen? He's this TV host. He was like on The Voice. He's got a really, I think it's a Scottish accent. He's got a really thick accent.
I'm sorry, I do not.
You don't know this guy?
No.
Well, I think he's a pretty good looking host. Like, he's, you know, not too shabby. He posted a photo on his social media of like these two blurred out people on a plane ride doing the dirty.
Doing the, what do you mean? They're joining the Mile High Club.
Well, I don't know how far they went, but from the photo and the blurred out faces, all I can see is like, you don't need to Google it, mate.
Yeah, let's have a look at this photo.
Okay. No, don't be a weirdo.
They're not doing their business. She's just going, hang on.
She's doing him some favors.
Well, do you know what? It's blurred out. That's all we need to know.
Regardless, he has like 50,000 followers and he uploaded it to that. And said, like, he was just like, my new hero, which is kind of like a weird thing to say. Like, I don't know why he felt the need to go post it. Firstly,
what do you mean he wrote my new hero?
Like, he uploaded the caption as that.
What, so he was kind of condoning it?
Yeah, right? And it was on a Jetstar flight. Jetstar's come back and said, we don't condone zero approach to this. If anyone ever sees anything, report the incidents to our staff.
There could be kids around. You can't do that sort of
thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, he shouldn't have done it in the first place. But what are these two idiots doing?
Yeah, no, I think that's poor form on his part.
I thought,
like, if you're taking a photo of it, even if you're blurring it out, but then you're putting that caption, no, you can't do that, pal. What are you doing, hey?
I mean, it wasn't a story. It was a post too.
Now, I mean, I'm not going to condone it, but I do know that it is a very sought-after thing to join that
accolade
club. Yeah, to join the Mile High Club, but it is very hard to do it unless you're getting with, like, an air hostess or something like that and you're going backstage because there's other areas. Because, like, on the long-haul flights, they've got sleeping quarters.
Yes.
Because they do shifts.
Or there's also just numerous toilets.
And I have heard from people that can happen. But, you know, you don't talk about
it.
I've heard the rumours.
And
I've
it's just
stories.
Like, you know, it's
the legends.
Like, it's kind of like Voldemort. You just don't say the name. No, but you know what? like, what I think is that's what they were trying to do, but they really went about it the wrong way. Like, I don't know why you... I thought it had to be in an enclosed area.
Well, I don't...
What's the rules?
I think you just got to get it done. But do you know what? As a public figure, that guy should not have done it. He should not have done that.
Especially because he was shaming, I guess, Jetstar in front of so many people.
Well, he wasn't just doing that, but he was basically telling people it's okay to do it, and you can't do that. You can't do it.
Yeah, no, people were not happy about that, but also, poor form on them, get a literal room.
Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up.
Get up with
Cass and Budge.
The rest of my life gonna start today.
On the Mid-North Coast hit.
The Dream Team back together.
Here we are.
After so long. I did go back home to Adelaide for a little while just to see me pop. I hired a hire car. I normally get a hire car so I can run myself round.
Yeah, yeah.
And middle of the year, it's nice and inexpensive. Come Christmas time, they quadruple the price because that's the sort of people they are.
Down south.
Exactly. Well, everyone does it. However, because we do an early morning show, I'm not used to late night driving. I don't do a lot of it. And I wanted to see as many people as I could while also getting to the hospital to see Pop. So I'm driving late. I'm at my best friend's house, AJ. You know, we've been canoodling, cuddling on the couch because we haven't seen each other. Yeah, we're watching Ghostbusters, the original one, because we're good mates. It's guy love. It's not a big deal. And his wife sat there as well.
Yeah,
she wasn't overly impressed.
There was a third person there.
But she kind of understands how it goes. I'm driving back quite late, and I was staying with some other friends, and on the way, I was starting to, you know, when you're tired and you're behind the wheel, you should always pull over.
Yeah.
If you're driving unsafely, and I started to notice I was starting to drift a little bit. And I thought, right, I'll have to maybe just take a quick nap on the side of the road. I'll park the car. And I was stopped by a police officer, like, you know, minutes into it because I was on the main road and I'd obviously parked.
Before you'd pulled over or after?
As I'd pulled over.
Oh,
so
right.
I pulled over. And I had my phone out, and the car was off.
Yeah.
And he said, I can see the light in the window, so I came over to see what was going on. I was like, oh, I'm just having a nap. And he goes, you actually can't sleep in the car. I'm like, is that a thing? And I don't know if it is a thing, but he said, yeah. He said, well, just don't do it on the main road. Just maybe go off road. And I'm like, okay. So I took the car, and I drove around the corner. And parked it at kind of like a little car park.
Yeah.
Like private property.
I didn't actually know that because I thought that they always say, you know, pull over, take a rest.
Well, I haven't checked in on this, but according to this one officer, he said that you can't be asleep in the car.
Were you far enough the main road? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you weren't...
When he saw me, I was on the main road. In any case, I found a place to park, and it was attached to a massive park, like a parklands, and I was like, oh, a little bit creepy, a little bit, you know. Anyway, parked there, turned the car off, thought I'll have a quick 20-minute power nap, and then I'll drive the rest of the way. I woke up an hour and a half later, and I thought, oh, well, I could drive the rest of the way now. It's all good. Go to turn the car over. And I noticed as I'm turning it that it doesn't have as far to turn. I hadn't turned the car off the whole way. So I'm hearing, and I'm like, oh,
no.
Crap. Come on, don't be like this. And with
like you didn't turn it off properly.
Without any prompting, as if I was trying to signal them, two men at first and then a third one who just happened to be walking their dogs, happened to appear under a lamppost. And they're just watching the car like something's happening.
Bodge, that is
like
so
I'm there to put on
weird.
A show. Exactly. And I thought, right, well, I've got 3% of my phone. I've just noticed this. I can't charge it because the car's dead. What do? Uber. Jumped on Uber. I didn't want a chance waiting on the phone for a cab. So I thought, right, tell them where I am. And then I waited in the car with the doors locked until the Uber got there.
Where were the dog men?
They're about 100 metres away, but they were just standing there like statues waiting to see if something would happen.
That is so
crazy. It was very rapey.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very, very, very scary. Anyway, I went back there the next morning and the car was still, you know, it was still dead.
Yeah, right.
The rental car people said, actually, it's going to cost about $390 to get that fixed. I'm like, I'm paying for extras. Why is it? You know, and they're like, well, this one's your fault. And I'm like, yeah, fair enough. So I called a mate and he jump-started it for me. And it was a very irritating experience.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I nearly spent the whole night. If I left it any longer, my phone would have died and I would have had to spend the night surrounded by, like, strange men with their dogs in a parkland in the dark, potentially about to, you know,
You were going to have some serious issues there, my friend.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, get up with
Cass and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast here.
Well, if you haven't heard about Ramadan, it's basically the ninth month in the Islamic calendar. Now, it's a period of prayer. They do it for a whole month and they fast. They actually give to charity. It's a time for self-reflection and for food and family. But basically, the catch here is you actually can't eat from dawn till sunset.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
No, well, that's what they all do.
Yeah.
The Muslims in Australia, they all do it as well. And yesterday I was in Brisbane on my way back to the Mid-North Coast and I had an Uber driver. He was a lovely bloke and he offered me a Mentos and a water. I gave him a five, obviously, because that was good. And on the way through to the airport, he was telling me, I was like, oh, I'm pretty hungry. I don't even know what I was talking about. So I was probably like an annoying passenger. And I was like, oh, I'm pretty hungry. And he was like, oh, yes, me too. And I was like, oh, really? And I was like, have you had lunch? He goes, oh, no, I'm in Ramadan. And I was like, oh, I've heard about that. Like, I have never done it, but I've had my own experience with that. And he was like, yep, I can't eat till this afternoon at about 5 or 6 whenever the sun goes down.
Oh,
and
mate, you'd be watching the sun like a hawk going, go down.
Wouldn't you?
Go down. What if a cloud just, like, if it's on the horizon, say, and a cloud just drifts across it, can you just go, oh, that's close enough?
Budge.
No one's going to know.
Budge.
What?
They're so, well, I don't know. They're just disciplined. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
they
well,
just
if you're,
do it.
If you're a Muslim person on the Mid-North Coast, 13, 12, 16, tell us.
How you do it.
Yeah. How do you get that discipline?
I mean,
fasting's really good. It's good for your health.
Yeah. There's lots of good health benefits that they have. It's like, obviously fasting is tough, but it does appear that you can like lose weight easier. And it's kind of like a detox for your whole body.
Yeah.
Really?
But, like, you know, obviously consult your doctor and all that sort of stuff as well if you're going to do it.
Yeah, but they're saying that the people in Ramadan are kind of getting a double bonus here because obviously they're doing it for the religion, but they're also getting some health benefits out of it as well, which I think is, I guess, bonus.
It would make me angry.
Yeah.
It would make me angry.
This guy, let me tell you, I didn't actually catch his name, but he was very, very pleasant. I said, is it hard for you? He goes, well, look, I'm a little bit hungry now, but it's actually not that hard for me. And I was like, well, when have I had an experience of this? Probably never. No, I actually have.
Yeah.
I went to Abu Dhabi for 2 nights. I went to Europe a couple of years ago and had to stop over in Abu Dhabi for 2 nights. And we didn't realise this, but we were there in the Ramadan month.
Right.
And I was there with 2 other mates and we had got there, we were starving, we were so tired and everything like that. And we were like, okay, we'll just go get a feed. Nobody was eating. Nobody was drinking. Nobody had a water bottle.
So you probably couldn't buy food anywhere.
You had to go into this, even in shopping centres and everything like that, like in the food court, because they have...
So they enforce that over there for everyone, basically.
For everybody.
Wow.
And if you are a tourist, which I was, and you aren't Muslim and you don't practice Ramadan, you can actually go... You had to go into this enclosed curtain area, like we had to in this area, and we could eat, but just quickly, and like, there wasn't, like, hot soup.
But you, I mean...
Hot food.
You probably could have gotten away with it without having to do that. If you just get yourself a little sandwich and slip it up under your burqa, you'd be fine. No one will see you eat it anyway.
But that literally, I'm pretty sure it's illegal over there. Like, you cannot
do
that.
You have to wear a burqa when you're there, don't you?
No.
Because you're a bird.
You have to...
A woman.
Oh, I was like, you know, you just have to, you know, you have to cover up. You can't have anything out. You can't have your titties out. You can't have... You can't.
I know you can't.
I'm just saying, you can't.
You can't have your ankles out even.
You can't have your shoulders out. You can't have much out at all.
Just slip a little sandwich under your burqa, you'd be right.
Get up with
Cass and Budge on the Mid-North Coast Hit.
Let's go!
Trending now.
Hits.com.au.
Dan McCarthy, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hello, everyone.
Hello. We're talking Margot Robbie this morning because you, like, capsed this one. What happened there?
Caps locks.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Margot Robbie is making headlines. It was just so interesting. You would expect that, you know, she's an Oscar nominee, she's a millionaire. Well, she was living a very humble life just 3 years ago in London, sharing a house with 6 people. She was literally hearing like a share house in Clapham. If you know, if anyone knows where Clapham is.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bod, is Clapham fancy?
No, it's not.
It's not fancy?
It's not fancy.
Not fancy schmancy? Well, I followed her on Instagram at this time, Dean, and I actually, well, I couldn't guess that she was living in a share house, but she was always riding her bike and living a very chill life.
Yeah, maybe it was very humble. Now, of course, she's married and Tom Ackerley, I think his name is, and they're worth millions. So she's probably got a much nicer place now. But yeah, just up until recently, very, very humble Aussie. I love that.
I feel like good on her. Yeah. Like, who cares? That would have been fun, actually. They were probably all legends.
So fun.
Yeah, but also, this is not so humble. Drake's done something not humble.
Oh.
Okay, this is just ridiculous. Drake has bought a 767 jet. Now, a lot of celebrities have private jets. Not a big deal, really. Most of them do. But Drake has bought a commercial airliner, fitted it out with a all, like, bedrooms, tables, chairs, a living area, like a games room. It's so obnoxious. And, of course, you know, someone like Oprah Winfrey, her private jet is just totally plain. You wouldn't even know it's hers, right? Here says Air Drake on the side of it.
I like it.
I love it as well. I might even have Air Dean for sure. But it's fabulous. It's ridiculous. It's obnoxious. It's obscene. And it is everything.
Dean.
Okay, that is absolutely outrageous. But I feel like Drake would do that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, mate. It's taking John Travolta's, you know, when he bought a plane, he used to park it in his driveway. It's taking it to the next level.
Next level. And he's even got his own name. All right, Air Drake, chill out.
Dean, thank you so much for that that filler goss. We'll talk to you tomorrow, mate.
Bye, guys.
See you, Dean.
Hey, I stopped a thief.
You stopped a thief?
Well, a would-be thief. I stopped a would-be chocolate thief at a chocolate store in Adelaide while I was on holidays. I will tell you about it.
So you're a local hero or no?
No, it's a much deeper, sadder story.
Oh God, all right, I'll strap in. Let's do it.
Right, I'm standing in line, and it was one of those chocolatier stores where you can pick individual chocolates and they all put them in a bag and they're all grey and they're all different flavours. There's lots of different ones. And I'm picking them and the lady's sort of weighing them and whatever else. And this little kid walks up to me with a bag of freckles and he says, "Can you buy these for me?" And I said, no, put them back.
No, please.
And he goes, "I'm hungry." And I was like, "Don't pull that on me. Don't pull the I'm hungry on me." He would have been about 10 years old.
No.
And I saw him walk off and then he walked back and he spoke to the guy behind me who flat out ignored his existence. And I thought, okay, this isn't good. Where's his parents? I'm looking around a lot. There's no parents here. He's wearing some kind of school uniform jacket, but it's 5:30 at night. You know, the shop's about to close. He goes to the back of the store with the freckles and very unsubtly lifts up his jumper to put them down his, like, down his front.
Yeah, right.
And I just gave him that look and I just went,
no.
Don't you dare do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it.
You gave him the head shake.
Yep. And then he turned around and went to do it again, but then turned his head and I just went,
stop.
Don't do it. I didn't say it, but I looked at him like as and shook my head like to say, don't do it.
Yeah.
And then he walked back over and he was going to put him back and I'd got my chocolates by then. All right. I went, you, come here. And I said,
I would have got scared.
I said, you can have a chocolate of mine if you promise to put those back and never even contemplate doing that again. And he said, okay. I said, look at me. I said, don't do it ever.
Was this in front of people?
No, they'd gone by the time. Okay. The lady behind the counter already knew what was going on.
Oh, right.
I said, don't steal. Stealing is not good.
You put them back?
And then, yeah, he picked one out and I said, not that one. That one's a good one. It was my lavender cream.
You said he could have one.
He can't have my lavender cream. That's the best one.
He put the freckles back.
He did. But I said, you have one of the other ones. And then he took one and he went outside. And then the lady said, you know what? He comes in here all the time and he does it. And I felt really bad because I was like, he's 10 years old. You know, he seemed like he might have had something going on upstairs. He didn't seem like he was all there. And I really was like, where's his parents? Yeah. The lady didn't know. And I walk outside, poor kid's fanning his mouth and going, and I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? He goes, it was hot. And
I
was
like,
I gave him a chilly one.
Get up with Cass and Bodge.
On the Mid-North Coast hit. It's time for Everyday Heroes.
That's okay. I mean, love.
Bodge, I got Greck on the weekend. Let me tell you, I've been waiting for this day for my entire life. I became a godmother, which is Nonna in Greek, for the second time.
So when you say you were waiting for it your whole life, what about the first time you were a godmother?
I was waiting for that day my whole life too. Two different babies, mate.
All right, fair enough.
Either way, it was a long time coming. This was a special day because my parents christened Demi, and Demi is the mother of the baby that I christened. So we passed it down in traditions. So my parents' goddaughter I christened their goddaughter, Isabel.
I'm trying to work out the family tree, but in my mind...
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, it's probably very simple.
Yeah. Are you with me? So my god sister had a baby and I christened her.
Yes.
Yes. Very easy, I think. Hopefully. So it was tradition, and I think it's actually tradition in the Greek culture to keep it running down the families that way, but not a lot of people do it. So I was very excited about this, and at the beginning of the christening, you got to read a creed, and basically the creed, well, it was just very hard to read. Well, I'm, like, trying to burp this baby and try and, like, you know, make it not cry. And
you have to read it in Greek as well, don't you?
Well, no, because he asked me, do I speak fluent Greek, and I said no, so I was able to read it in English, but it was still, like, a good... whole page,
yeah.
And it was like quite confronting because everyone was standing there looking at me. I was having to make sure the baby wasn't crying, as well as get all the words right and say everything. And then I had to say yes about everything, like, you know, for Isabel, because she can't speak. So he was like, do you accept this? And I was going, yes, yes. And half the stuff I couldn't really understand, so I don't really know what I was signing over. Fingers crossed. Well, I don't. It was half of that was in Greek.
And you were doing it on behalf of this child.
On behalf of my child.
You're going to have a lot to answer for when she gets older.
No, well, then we get to the dunking of the baby. So we have to come up to the front of the church, and there's this huge basin.
And you make her sound like a biscuit.
Dunking of the biscuit. She was a good little Tim Tam, let me tell you that. So we get to the front, and the priest was like, the father was like, okay, Cassandra, get your hands right over left. And he poured all of this olive oil on me, basically, and it was holy oil.
Right.
And he gets the baby basically naked, and you get her up, and she's ready to be dunked and placed into the holy water.
Okay.
And he goes, grab all the oil, wash it all over her, go everywhere, all through her hair. She looked like Danny Zuko of Greece.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And she comes out after she'd had all that kind of dunking and situation. She didn't drown or anything. All good. Brings her back out. Hands her to me. I have a white sheet and a white towel. Mm. And obviously the bath was very warm and very relaxing because I get her and then he starts cutting a little bit of her hair for the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then after that all happens, she's looking very relaxed. She looks at me. I look at her. The priest is still chanting. And I feel this, like, warm, wet sensation. And I wasn't sure whether it was ones or twos. I wasn't sure. And I'm looking at her going, and the priest is looking at me, the assistant priest, and he goes, is it one or two? And I was like, I'm not sure. Like, all I'm going to say is the bath was so warm and relaxing that Isabel got far too relaxed.
Get up with Cass and Bodge.
On the Mid-North Coast hit.
It's National Burger Day today, a day that I can get around. A lot of people can.
Well, congratulations, because I'm around it too, and I think that we have to celebrate today, Bodge.
Well, I understand that McDonald's... Right.
Yes.
And they're not paying us to do this, so they damn well better give me more than one when I go through the drive-thru.
You only had one.
Apparently they're giving away burgers today for free.
Yeah, for free. They're giving away 250,000 quarter pounders for free in Australia. Now, you can only get one each, and you have to download the My Macca's app. Can I tell you something low-key? I don't know if I'm not with it, but I don't even know there was really a Macca's app that you had to go through to do this stuff.
No, I didn't know that either.
Like, everything has an app now, but you can only get it through this app. I thought you could just go up to the drive-thru, go on in and ask for one. No?
Well, apparently not. Apparently not.
That's a hazard.
But I love a good burger. I love a good burger. Hang on one sec. I'm just going to...
Are you going to ring Macca's?
Yeah.
All right, give them a go. See what they say.
Just,
Well, look, Bodge, a quarter pounder. I usually go the Happy Meal, but I'll settle for a quarter pounder.
Yeah.
Would you?
Hang on one sec.
Let's see.
Are we allowed to do this?
Good morning, Paul McCrory McDonald's. It's Linda.
Hello, Linda. This is Bodge on Hit FM. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Look, you're on the air at the moment. Sorry to spring that one on you. It's National Burger Day today, apparently. Is it true Macca's are giving away burgers if you download the app or something?
Yeah, that is correct. So if you have the McDonald's app, you can go online and redeem the quarter pounder burger.
Oh. Okay, right. So you can't go through and just get a drive-through situation?
So if you order on the app, you can still come through the drive-through, correct?
All right, so the series of wigs that I bought to try and get free burgers just by looking different is probably not going to work.
No, sorry.
No.
All right, Linda.
That's a hard no from Linda.
All right, thank you for that. Hey, look, enjoy the day. Happy National Burger Day.
Thank you, too.
Thanks, mate. All right. Well, there we go. We settled that one. I can take all these wigs back. I didn't even keep the receipts.
Bodge, I told you, you can't do it there, mate.
Of course you can.
We can only get one each. Look.
But I think it's nationally they've got like 250,000 burgers, so you've got to get there at some stage.
I know. It started at midnight, though, because, that's what I was going to ask.
They're going to hate us for that because they'll get slammed now. Everyone will be hearing it going, I can pass past Macca's.
And I can get two, maybe. No?
No,
I can get different wigs. No, but Bodge, you know what we should have asked her? How many are left? I wonder if they've got the tally.
I don't know. I think it's just when...
Like,
when,
do we need to speed straight over the after
promo,
the show?
When the promo codes have gone, I don't know, mate.
Oh, look, okay,
not
look,
scientists.
With burgers, they're very... People get very aggressive about burgers. Yeah. I mean, yes. Mm. And the one question that people get kind of antsy about is whether you go a chicken burger or a beef burger. Now, I always have this. You know how people, some people are really good. They go up and they're always like, yep, I'm going to get the sweet chili chicken, or I'm going to get the Happy Meal, or I'm going to get whatever it may be.
Yep.
You know, a chicken karaage with slaw. Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, come on, mate. Don't get too fancy on me.
I'm just saying, yeah.
No, I agree. Look, I probably would be more sort of the beef way, but then I've got the other question in my mind. See, there's two burgers that have stood the test of time, the Whopper. And the Big Mac, in my life anyway, and I don't know which one I prefer. I don't know which one I'd go for.
That's what I mean.
If I had to pick one for the rest of my life, I think I prefer the onions on the Whopper, and I like the Big Mac sauce. So it's like, hard-pressed to pick.
You can't mix them. It's hard.
You can't choose between them.
Well, look, Macca's aside, there's also, like, any other burger joint we're talking about.
Of course.
And if you were even going to make homemade burgers and you put things like pineapples on them, it's a hard yes for me.
I got mates that hate egg on burger.
What?
I mean, I don't mind it.
What about a bacon and egg burger?
Oh, that's different. But like if it's like an all-in burger with everything on it, people don't like the runny egg. So...
Oh, I love
it. It just depends. But 13, 12, 16, what makes the best burger? Are you going chicken or beef? Are you going pineapple? Maybe a little beetroot?
Yes, I'm always going beetroot, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, were we allowed to call Macca's?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We've done
right?
it
now.
Get up with Cass and Bodge.
On the Mid-North Coast Hit.
Hit FM's 5 in 10 for Newtons. The only name for shutters, blinds and awnings.
Absolutely right. Hey, $120 up for grabs this morning, Cassandra Ruff.
Oh, yeah. Who we got on the line, Bodge?
We got Josh. Josh in cold Port Macquarie. Josh, what's going on?
Nah, not a lot, mate.
Josh, it is freaking freezing, isn't it?
It's worse in Grafton.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
This is true. Hey, look, we got $120 up for grabs. We got a question. Sounds like there's a gale a-blowing where you are. Have you got a window open or something?
Aircon on. The heater.
No, I can understand that. That's okay.
That's fair enough. Hey, we got a question for you. You've got 10 seconds and we need 5 correct answers. Okay, Josh?
No worries.
All right. Josh, please name for us 5 voice actors from the original Shrek film.
Oh, Jesus. Eddie Murphy.
Nice.
Nothing.
Jesus was not one, but Eddie Murphy was.
I think he was on that, though. No, they didn't have him on that. It was only fairy tale characters. Hey, no, but I struggled with this before because we thought, is this one going to be too easy? But no, it was okay.
It's a hard one. Well, look,
so Eddie Murphy, Mike Myers, John Lithgow, I had Cameron Diaz, Antonio Banderas. Who else did I miss,
Cass? They were the main 5, and then there's a couple of other guys that I don't even know. Look, Cameron Diaz is in that one, and the other one that everyone forgets is Eddie Murphy from Donkey.
No, he was the first. This is the only one he said.
No. Did you say Mike Myers?
No, Josh said Eddie Murphy.
Oh, Josh, all right, I'm not on the wavelength.
Does everyone forget him?
I feel like everyone forgets that Eddie Murphy was in it.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
He's funniest out of a lot of them.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, he is. I got a question for you. Have you seen Raw and Delirious?
No.
Oh, God. They're both
only
on Netflix. I cannot pick. I think Eddie Murphy Raw is a little bit better than Delirious.
Really?
But I can't. I've got to watch them again.
Well, look, Josh, that's your homework. You've got to go. Well, I reckon watch Delirious first then.
One of the funniest stand-ups ever.
Right.
So, Josh.
Like, even beat Kevin Hart.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I'm serious. Eddie Murphy is, I'd have to say, the best black comedian.
Well, I've only
seen
Delirious.
Apart from, Oh,
what
Dave Chappelle's
Rock?
Pretty good.
What about Chris Rock?
Oh, God, this is getting too hard now.
Okay,
Josh,
there you go.
We're going to give you a $100 tradie underwear voucher, all right, as a consolation prize. So stay on the line. We'll grab your details.
Can I just do a call out to my wife? She's on her way to work.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you can, mate.
Yeah, have a good day, babe. Love
you. Oh,
well, you want to say her name or?
Carly.
All right, Carly, you have a
good
great
on
day.
Good on you, Carly.
I like that.
All right, Josh, stay on the line. We'll grab your dates, mate. And it goes up to $130 for tomorrow, Cass. New tradie baby zippers made tiny, tough tradie underwear.
Yeah,
so
look, this is all thanks to Newtons, the only name for shutters, blinds and awnings.
That's right.
Get up with
Cass and Budge on the Mid-North Coast Hit.
Yeah, look, last night was pretty... painful even to watch because I just felt as though you look, for anyone who didn't see MasterChef last night, you had to make what is considered to be the best paella outside of Spain. And Lino, is it? What's his name, Leah? Lino?
Yeah, Lino from Simply Spanish.
Yeah, so it was his paella, and there was three of you who had to actually get around this, and it was yourself.
Is it paella or is it paella?
Hotly contested. I say paella, but I believe on a technicality it's paella.
All right, well, look, that's up for debate.
Well, look, the Spanish language is very sexy language. You got to say it right. Paella. Paella.
I feel like when people say it that way, I feel like they don't know what they're saying, but that's it right. Is the right way to say it.
Well, like, did you make it okay, or like, was it just not as good as other people? I missed it last night. I'm sorry.
Well, look, because they didn't have a recipe, Bodge. So, Leah, when you found out you didn't have a recipe, how'd you feel about that? Because usually in these pressure tests you do.
I'm usually all right without a recipe, but paella is not something I had ever cooked before, so I was definitely in deep water.
Yeah, no, I can just imagine. And then after that, it was yourself, Anushka, and who was the other guy?
Kyle.
So you guys were up against each other. Yours, look, they all looked pretty good, Botch. Like, they all looked really, really good, but the judges said that at the end of the day, yours had a burnt crust at the bottom of it.
What'd you bung in there? What food? Did you put, like, prawns and, like, I don't know, chorizo and stuff like that?
Oh, every seafood you can think of. There was lingfish, prawns, crabs, calamari, pippies.
Yeah, right.
I know, so did you know that it was burnt at the bottom when you handed it in, or you just weren't sure?
Towards the end of the cook, there were people yelling out that something was burning, and all three of us were staring intently at these paellas. But the problem is you can't stir them up to see what's going on at the bottom. So we knew it had to be one of us, but we weren't sure who, and unfortunately I dipped out.
Unfortunately it was you.
Well, what you do in that scenario is you go, oh, my God, look at that bloody big spider on the wall. Everyone turns, and you just do a little swapsies with someone else.
Take somebody else's. Yeah. The trouble is, but they're all getting filmed.
Yeah, true. Well, but that's better for, you know, better for the viewing figures.
Hey, well, good in theory.
Good in theory. Hey, look, you're a theatre manager, Leah, and you, what's next for you? What do you want to do?
Yeah, super exciting time. On Sunday night, I am set to launch my catering and grazing tables business, Tables and Cheese.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so if you follow on Instagram at Leah M. Cooks, you'll see that launch on Sunday night, which is super exciting.
Good on you.
I mean, work experience at Om Nom in Melbourne City, which is a big dessert bar.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll follow it if you follow us. We'll do a swapsies. So just, what was it called again? Let me just search this up.
Tables and Cheese.
Leah M. Cooks.
Leah, go again.
Leah M for MasterChef.
Yeah.
And then Cooks, Bod, you got it?
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Right, I've just started following. If I don't get a follow back, I'm going to do what all the influencers do and unfollow when you're not Wes.
Oh, my God.
All right, got it.
Leah, he's very sassy about this. Look, about MasterChef, overall, you had a good time on the show. Was there anyone in particular, mainly the judges, that made you a bit nervous, or was everyone pretty friendly, or what was the vibes on MasterChef?
Oh, look, the judges are incredibly supportive, but, they're not afraid to tell it like it is. So they have quite good poker faces, but they can also be very honest. So you kind of got to be emotionally prepared for anything they throw at you.
Yeah, right. And look, was all the contestants, did everyone kind of know how to cook, or was there anyone who was just totally like could burnt toast?
No, everyone is genuinely a pretty great cook. When breakfasts in the morning are, Egyptian-baked eggs, you know you've got real cooks in the house.
What? You guys would all cook for each other?
Absolutely, yeah. Breakfast and dinner, it's a big house effort.
Right, so now my question is this. You've got alpha dogs in every kind of social scenario. You're going to have someone that's going to want to dominate the kitchen and sort of exert their presence. Who was it that was the most dominant in the kitchen and sort of almost pushy with their food? Who wanted to cook the most?
There are a lot of powerhouses in this competition. I don't think anyone's pushy, actually. I think there's plenty of people that are confident in what they can cook and good for them because that's going to see them through.
Well, give us some
names. Who was the breakfast king or queen, and who was the dinner one, Leo?
Mandy, by far, cooks the best breakfast in the house.
Yep. And what'd she cook?
She does these beautiful baked eggs in like a tomato sugo that she makes. It's a Middle Eastern dish. It's really gorgeous.
Oh, God. Yum.
And dinner... Kyle, who I competed with last night, he does the best pumpkin dal. I'm not veggio, but it rocks my world.
Oh, God. Okay.
Here we go.
Well, and also, one final question, Leah. Did everyone swap recipes or were they kept secret? Like, if like this pumpkin dal, do you have that recipe?
I don't. It's such an interesting dynamic. In probably the first week in the house, everyone's sharing everything, and then the reality that it's a competition hits, that everyone becomes quite secretive.
No, I see. Well, that's all right. We'll get Kyle on soon enough, and we'll put it to him. We'll ask him for the recipe.
Look, we'll send it to you, Leah.
Thanks so much for taking time out to have a chat with us this morning, and best of luck with your future endeavours, mate.
Thanks so much. All the best, guys.
Thanks, Leah.
Get up with Cass and Butch on the Mid North Coast Hit.